2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll read verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou among faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. I hope your desire this morning is as well as to be used of the Lord, that God would use you in some way to be a blessing and encouragement to those that are around you. On this Veterans Day service, I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning, and several points, but I'll be brief on each one. But often, we ask ourselves, and I think most of us have at one time or another, depending on your background and your family, you know, what is a veteran? A veteran is a person who has had long experience in a particular field. A person who has served in the military. The holiday Veterans Day is an official United States public holiday observed annually on November the 11th. That honors military veterans, that is persons who have served in the United States Armed Forces, and many other countries also recognize their veterans as well. When writing Veterans Day, there is no apostrophe. It is not a day that belongs to veterans. It is a day for the country to recognize all veterans, a day to show appreciation for those who have honorably served their country. And today, I would like for us to focus on the love and dedication a person must have in order to give his or her life to serve and protect not only their country, but also a lost and dying world. This morning, I'd like to look at a few things in reference to a soldier of the cross. A soldier of the cross. I trust this morning you realize the day you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you enlisted in the in the armed forces of heaven. We represent heaven. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians. So let me share a few things with you from our text. Here in verse number 1, it says here, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So number 1, be strong as a soldier of the cross. It's in the grace that is in Christ Jesus that gives us that opportunity. There are no slackers. We should not be lazy. We should not be hesitant, but boldly prepared to say, hey, I am a soldier of the cross. We should be willing to do that. Today we live in a country sometimes that people are hesitant to speak up about being a veteran because it has not always been received well as in years gone by after the Vietnam War. This time it's been a little bit different, but needless to say, not only for our veterans, but us as Americans, we are still defending the freedoms that we have in Christ. And the best way that we can conquer the enemy is introducing others that do not know the Lord Jesus. So we are to be strong in the Lord. Number 2, as a good soldier, we are to commit to train others also. Verse number 2, in that latter part, it says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We are to set before, to present, to teach. We are reproducing ourselves by telling others about Christ. And again, the best way to be strong is to commit into training others, not just telling others about Christ, but those who have come to know the Lord, to train them, to encourage them, and to strengthen them. When I raised my right hand in March of 1993 and left, I think it was March the 9th or 10th, to basic training, I got there and things were a lot different than I thought they would be. I really had no idea, though I had family members that served in the military. None of them said anything about what basic was about. They just smiled and said, you'll enjoy it. There are some things I did enjoy. There's some things I did not. But you know, they concentrate on 9 weeks. 9 weeks of just physical training and emotional and mental health training. I mean, just at us mentally, physically, emotionally. We were up at the crack of dawn. We're in bed just before the sunset. I mean, we were just at it 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, and sometimes a little bit of a rest on Sunday. They were preparing us for training for the military. They were teaching us, committing us to be good soldiers. And dear friends, the U.S. Army, the U.S. military, and other branches of service will take 9 weeks of that training to prepare them. Do we not think that we need that much and so much more in training others for the cause of Christ? It's not a matter of them getting saved and baptized, saying, God bless you. We need to equip them, to train them, to encourage them to grow in the Lord. Number three, not only are we to be strong as a soldier of the cross, we are to commit to training others, but number three, we are going to endure hardship and afflictions. Oh, the hardship and afflictions I face in basic training. Boy, if I had the time this morning. Verse number three, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier stays prepared for battle. We are going to undergo hardship. We're going to be afflicted, but we are to endure the afflictions. We are to suffer some trouble, difficult times, but we are to endure. Dear friends, serving the Lord is not a spectator sport. It's not. I can remember when I was in basic training, I'll just share this one story. My drill sergeant, Sergeant Lattimore, I believe when he walked, his knuckles scraped the ground. He was intimidating. He was a big man. He shaved his head. Little did I know, to my first duty assignment, he had a head full of black, curly hair. But he shaved it for the intimidation factor in basic training. Every single day, he was up in our face, getting after us, giving us a hard time. We are enduring the hardship, teaching us to be strong physically. And the same way spiritually, we are to be strong, we are to commit to train others, and we are at times to endure hardship and affliction in our life. Dear friends, every single day that I got up in basic training, I determined to keep my head down. I didn't want to be the center of attention. I didn't want to be recognized. I just wanted to try to do my best to blend in. But that didn't always happen. And dear friends, if we just try to blend in this world today and go with the flow, how are we going to make a difference for Christ? How are we going to do anything different if we just want to blend in? One funny story. We're standing in front of the chow hall. They were holding up flashcards, had to identify the aircraft. And by the way, this is the first time I'd seen those cards in my life. They knew we didn't know. They just wanted a reason to get us out of line to do push-ups. I'm going to tell you, I could knock out some push-ups after the end of those 9 weeks. And I can remember one particular drill sergeant getting in my face and asking me what it was I didn't know, and I went down and had to do push-ups. I went to the back of the line that day 4 different times because I could not identify the aircraft I had never seen in my life. And this one particular drill sergeant said, Cook, I'm beginning to think that you like me. You keep coming up and not having an answer and wanting me to go over here and do some push-ups with you. Cook, do you like me? All up in my face. And I looked at him and said, no, drill sergeants, I love you. And let me tell you, he laughed just like you did. He could not stand it. He was rolling laughing, made me go back to the line. In fact, he put me in the front of the line and said, go, we'll talk later. I got the best of him that day, and that was the last day that I ever got the best of him. We're going to endure some hardship. We're going to have good days, bad days, days of laughter, days of discouragement. But if we're going to be a good soldier for Christ, we need to be strong in the Lord, as young Timothy is being challenged. We need to commit to train others, to mentor, to encourage. No matter what phase you are in your life as a Christian, you have something that you can give another Christian. Your time, encouragement, teaching them to pray, teaching them to be faithful, just encouraging them. And then also enduring hardship and affliction. It may be physical, it may be mental, it may be just seems like it never You just seems like you can never get to the table to eat like I felt that day. I kept going to the back of the line. But we just keep treading along, plodding along, keep moving along. Because while we're strong, while we're committed, and while we're enduring this hardship, God is preparing to use us might be a soldier of the cross. Number four, avoid worldliness. Avoid worldliness. First part of verse number four, that no man warreth entangleth himself. Dear friends, we are to stay focused. Though we live in this world, as I mentioned many times, we do not have to allow the world to live in us. We can be different. We can come out from among them and be ye different, saith the Lord. We may have to go out on a regular basis into the world, but we can live a life that's distinctively different by being strong, by being committed to train and tell others also, by enduring the hardships and afflictions that we go through. We need to make sure that while we do that, we are to avoid worldliness. And dear friends, if you have a weakness, gentlemen, I'll go ahead and get on the men here for a moment. You have a weakness in an area, stay away from it. Ladies, you have a weakness in an area, stay away from it. Don't go to the place, to the crowd, where you know you'll have a problem. Dear friends, if I'm going on a diet, I'm not going to hang out at the dairy. Because I can eat ice cream till I bust. I'm going to stay away from those places. I'm going to stay away from the candy shops. I'm going to stay away from those things if I'm trying to lose weight, to stay away from those things, to stay away from the sugar, whatever the case may be. And if I'm struggling with a sin in my life, I'm struggling with things that are difficult, I'm going to not only stay away from it, I'm going to ask somebody to help me to be accountable. I'm going to ask somebody to help me. Say, ask me every week. Ask me every day. Hey, let me know that you're praying for me, encouraging me. Ask me the difficult questions. I remember the first time a young man came to me when we were stationed, when we were ministering in Osbach, Germany, and he was struggling in an area. He said, Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I'm ashamed. I need some help. And we sat down and we talked and we ended up setting up some programs on all of his computers, on his cell phone. Every time he opened up a browser, I got a ding of wherever he was. And after about 6 months in, I said, you know, I think it's time you add your wife or maybe one of your daughters as well. Oh, Pastor, I would be so embarrassed. Only if you do the wrong thing. Only if you do the wrong thing. It's difficult and it's hard. But if we're going to avoid worldliness, we need to stay away from those things that pull us down. Number five, be strong, commit to train others, endure hardship and affliction, avoid worldliness, and number five, honor the commander. Notice the second part of 1B, 4B, that ye may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He tells him to commit to train others and to endure hardship and affliction and to avoid worldliness. Why does Paul tell young Timothy these things? Why? That he may please the one who has called him. All the things we do, being strong, committing to train, enduring hardness, avoiding worldliness, all is to honor our commander, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The supreme creator of this universe is our commander. In my years of service, I had a few commanders that stood out as great men. I had a few first sergeants that stood out. It was an honor to serve with them and to serve under them. But dear friends, as we serve the Lord Jesus as a soldier of the cross, what greater honor it is than to have the Lord Jesus as our commander in chief. The one that we answer to, the one that we glorify, the one that we serve and tell others about. We are to honor him. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The Bible tells us in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Boy, if we could just stop there, it would take care of a lot of things. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let me explain something a little here, this word fear. This is not the type of fear that I had as a young boy when I didn't get my chores done by the time Dad got home. That's a different type of fear. I'm talking about a reverential fear of honor toward God and things that are holy. That reverence of putting him in his place where he belongs in service and doing it out of that reverential fear and honor of the Lord and desiring to be obedient. Dear friends, as you sit here today, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been called into the Lord's army. You signed up. Today you confess your sins and open your heart to the Lord Jesus. It is your duty to obey the commander. And the best way to know what the commander wants you to do, spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in God's house. Spend time around other godly people. Dear friends, if you want to be successful and you want to grow in the things of the Lord, spend time with him. When I was in junior high and coming up into high school, getting to high school, there was a gentleman in our community. I think his name was Ben. I think his last name was Walker, but Mr. Ben is what everyone called him. Mr. Ben was one of the greatest pitching coaches of our area. Every young pitcher, every young ball player wanted to work with Mr. Ben because he would give of his time free to a select few individual pitchers on different teams to help them, to encourage them, to help them with the art of their profession to get better. Every young person wanted him to say, hey, I'll make a slot for you. Yes, I think I have some time. As one graduated on to college and went away, another one could step in or two, whatever the case may be. And those of us who had the privilege of working with Mr. Ben, all we wanted to do each and every week is when he talked to us and asked us about our exercises, about our drills, about our training, did you do these every single day? We wanted to say yes, because we wanted to honor him, but we also wanted him to stick around and help us to craft our skill. Dear friends, are we in such a way to the point that we have that honor and respect to the Lord Jesus that we not only want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but that we want to honor him day by day in our lives? Lord, what can I do more? Lord, what can improve in my life? Dear friends, again, as you sit here as a believer in the Lord, are you prepared to serve him? It's a great deal if you think about being a soldier of the cross. You escape hell and have the honor to serve him and tell others how to be a soldier of the cross. I remember the day that I graduated basic training and got to go on to the next level. Boy, was I glad that was over. The only discouragement is I found out the same set of drill sergeants were going with our class to the next stage of our training. That was a little hard to swallow, but you know, they changed and lightened up just a little as we advanced to the next stage. And even toward the end, those congratulations and words of encouragement, they were hard at times. And dear friends, if you get into the Word, once in a while it's going to be hard. It's going to prick a little bit. It's going to cut a little deep. You're going to feel like a hammer and chisel has been taken to you. And dear friends, God doesn't use a feather. He uses a hammer and chisel to cut away those things that don't look like him. And if we're going to serve him, we need to be prepared and understand the good deal that we have. Let me ask you a few questions as we close. Are you strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus? Number two, are you committed to train others? In other words, are you looking for an opportunity to tell others about Christ? Are you enduring hardship, or are you in the retreat mode? I don't want to dwell here, but I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't endured any hardship of lately in service for the Lord, maybe you haven't been doing anything for the service of the Lord. Number four, are you avoiding worldliness, or are you entangled with the world? Are you avoiding it, or are you all tied up in it? Dear friends, again, we may have to live in it, but we don't have to be like them. Like the old saying, I've mentioned it before, the ship is safe in the ocean as long as the ocean is not in the ship. Let's make sure that we start and end our day with the Lord and make sure we have accountability where it belongs. And then, number five, are you pleasing your commander? Are the things that you do, the places you go, the things that you say, the things that you partake of, the things that you invest in, the things that you give to, is it pleasing your commander? And then lastly, whose side are you on? The battle is raging. There's no middle ground. Either you're godly or you're ungodly. There's no middle choice. Yes, even as a Christian, you can be ungodly. And you have to make a decision. I'm going to be more like Christ today than I was yesterday. I'm going to do all I can to live a godly life, or you cannot. And by the way, if you're not godly, you might as well put you're ungodly. There's no middle ground. Nowhere in Scripture is either you're godly or you're ungodly. You're living for the Lord or you're stifled, you're stale, you're treading water. And dear friends, we should always be moving. So whose side are you on? As we close this morning, I'll ask again, what kind of soldier of the cross are you? Is there room for improvement? Is there opportunity to invest and train in others? How would you evaluate? How would you compare your life? Let's stand together, heads bowed. Miss Marlene will make her way to the piano. We'll have a verse or two of invitation this morning and we'll close. But again, I ask this morning as we prepare, let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. What kind of soldier of the cross are you? You signed up the day you opened your heart and confessed your sins, but now how are you doing in your training? How did your basic training go? How did your specialized training go? How are you being used of the Lord? Maybe here today, and again, no one's looking around. Maybe have a visitor. Maybe have someone that's been here multiple times, or even a member. Maybe just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm in such a struggle. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm even saved. Pastor, I'm not sure. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I sure would like to know. Preacher, would you pray for me? No one's going to come to you. I'm not going to grab you. Just slip your hand up and down and let me pray for you by sight." I see no hands raised. One hand raised. Just one. I wonder if maybe the Lord is working your heart and your life for your need for Christ. Why not come this morning as the pianist begins to play and let us take the Bible, show you how you can know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Maybe this morning here you're a Christian and you would honestly say, "I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you to answer yourself honestly. Are you a good soldier? Are you doing what the Lord would have you to do?" So as I pray, you pray and do business with the Lord. Father, you know the needs and hearts that are represented this morning. Some that may need to come to know and accept Christ as their Savior. Others, Lord, that they may be struggling in their walk. Father, would you encourage them to say, "Lord, I'm ready to get back in the saddle. I'm ready to get back into serving and living, to honoring you, serving you, telling others, doing all that I can to honor you." Father, would you help them? Would you encourage them to make those commitments and then ask for the accountability? Father, bless this time of invitation, I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Our piano